Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and Jeff Burson is engineering today and producing and also pulling up your social media comments for us, which you can post on our YouTube and Facebook feeds. And Ryan Penny is on the calls, taking your calls right now at 833-288-3986. Pride goes before a fall. We're talking about the sin of pride, and there is a healthy kind of pride, I believe, being proud to be Catholic, for example, or proud of your family heritage, or proud of your high school or your college or whatever. But this is a little different form of pride that we're talking about today. So we hope that you will join us, as Carolyn has in Brownsville, Texas, listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The concern I have that I, you know, am worried that I fall into more often than I'd like to admit is the false humility that, or the pride that is disguised as maybe a false humility. And I can't, off the top of my head, maybe this is my pride, come up with a personal example, but the ones that come to mind are these football players that take the knee on the field and, you know, talk about that they're just humbly making a protest when really they're basically flipping the bird at the military and at ordinary Christian people. And at first the commissioner of the NFL was pretty firm with them, but now he's completely gone back on what he said, and he's saying, oh, we were wrong, and, you know, making it appear this mea culpa, really humble thing, but to me, it looked more like he was, trying to project an image of, you know, being woke. You know, I think it's called virtue signaling sometimes. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how we could safeguard against doing that in our own lives, and just what other examples of that you've maybe seen or experienced.
Well, Carolyn, I would love to address that, because, you go to the lives of the saints, okay, and you look at real humility and how they always pointed to God. They always recognized God in their journey. They lived for God. They lived for getting to heaven and in union with God, and to bring, you know, as many souls to heaven as well. And that was their agenda, if you will. And then I look at what the agenda is of all these other organizations out there in our world, in our culture. And, you know, there's, let's just face it, there's rarely a mention about God and about what God would want. As a matter of fact, there's a real, people get really, they bristle at the thought of you bringing God into the conversation. You know, what does God have to do with this? This is a decision we as man are making. We are educated and we are advanced. And it's really a shame, because when you do that, you expose your human agenda. And you're absolutely correct. It can get disguised in this false sense of humility, like, oh, we're doing such a great thing for humanity, when in reality, you're doing a great thing for your pocketbook. You're doing a great thing. It all stems back to some kind of monetary, gain. So it's really unfortunate. I think we've lost the ability to critically think. We go along with little sound bites. We go along with little snippets of information, and we believe it just because it's been said to us. And we've lost the ability to dive deeper and to realize that when you spot the part where God is missing, there you go. There's where, when God's missing, there's sin. It's just the way it works. So that's my take on it. I just think it's time for, you know, all of us as Catholic Christians to really kind of wake up and look at things critically and really see if this is what God would want for us. What do you think, Carolyn?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you said that, the first thing that jumped out at me is that old line, you know, don't push your religious views on me. You're entitled to your opinion, but don't bring your religious views into it, because then you're pushing it on me. And for some reason, it's okay to push non-religious views, which can be their own religion. But if God is brought up, then, you know, people do get accused of being proud. Oh, look at you. Look at the big Christian. So it's not very easy. It's not very clear what the path is.
Right. Well, you bring up something so important, though, and that is false humility. It's easy to fall into. For example, you get a compliment, you have a great singing voice, or you look very handsome today, or you did so well in the game the other day, and the temptation sometimes is, no, I not, you know, and that's a false humility, because humility is simply acknowledging what is true, and God gives everyone gifts. Every one of us has gifts that are given by God. We need to be grateful, but not deny the gifts. So, but not let them get us puffed up either, you know. And as Bob Dylan once sang, you know, it could be the devil, it could be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. So, you know, let's all try strive for that humility.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's an excellent point. I need to go get that record.
Right. If you got a computer, you can find it easily on probably on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks, Carolyn. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call today. You know, Jerry, I just want to share something,
Carolyn,
real quickly.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the specifics of it because it's a town next to where I live here in Arizona. But I remember there was this real big public campaign of trying to push this project on the community. And, you know, if you looked at all the details of the whole proposal, you just could spot right away that it wasn't healthy to live near this so-called project that they were doing in the town. It wasn't good for kids to be near it. And yet they were building houses around it. They were building schools around it. And you just knew. You said, this is dangerous. This isn't right. This isn't good for man, right? And I remember them getting on the news, the local news, constantly pushing it on us, Jerry, constantly saying, this is great. It's going to bring all these jobs. It's going to be this. And in the back of your mind, you're going, yeah, but it's going to hurt little kids. They shouldn't be near this. And, you know, interestingly enough, if you traced the proposal and you traced it back a couple years, you found out that the person that was pushing it was a council member who sat on the board of this project and stood to gain millions from it. Millions. Isn't that interesting? So I don't think sometimes when somebody is pushing it, saying this is so good for you, this is why I say, please investigate, please look at things and trace the money, trace the, and you'll see the agenda. God is very good at revealing. Wouldn't you say this, Jerry? Isn't God good at revealing what the hidden agenda is?
Yeah. What does it say? Something like that in the Bible, you know, what is hidden will be made known. And it can be an ugly thing, that kind of like what you were just describing there. But yeah, the truth is going to come out, and people are going to be embarrassed, hopefully maybe a little bit humbled by these things. But some people take the exposition of their actions like this and just double down, as they might say, and just try to even go more aggressively after it. So yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Please join in on this conversation. Tell us what you think about pride, how we can uncover it, how we can change it, fix it, diminish it, what works, what spiritual practices we could incorporate today that could help us limit our sense of pridefulness. Here's the number to dial. There's plenty of time to get on the show, but gotta hurry. Okay, 833-288-3986. Plenty of time, but you got to hurry.
Indeed. Love to have you on the program. And we do have Maria in San Antonio listening on our good friends at Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Maria. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
Hello,
just fine.
There?
Hi, Maria.
Just fine. Yep.
Great. Well, I just was thinking as you were talking, I don't know what growing up a lot, I was just a very negative thinking kid. And I remember something that helped me a lot personally, high school, which maybe not now, today is not really the best thing, but it just helped me a lot change my way of thinking. As far as I know, it's a Christian show on that, something about elaborated and not a, a lot on positive thinking, and that you were a special child of God and don't let anything hold you back. And back in those days, I needed that a lot because I was just a negative negative thinking kid. But thinking back nowadays, I'm in my middle ages here. Thinking back, I mean, I think I would have just matured a lot quicker, but a lot more thoroughly, I should say, as a Christian, Catholic Christian, if I would have just been just a different kind of, learning really the faith as being a Christian as it should be, as far as like you have been discussing, putting God first in everything. And I think that would have just personally, you know, helped me a lot out, this maturing as a Christian, as opposed to thinking of me as a special child of God, me that I can do everything because God is with me, and me that everything's going to be a great, wonderful day because I have God in my heart. Isn't that kind of a self, like a false pride in a way, that you think of yourself so much as a having God on your side, did you really forget about God? I don't know. It's hard to elaborate. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think you're touching upon a couple of very important things. One is the power of our thoughts. And Debbie and I are part of a life skill, life coaching team at StanTallToday.com. And I'm sure, Debbie, you would heartily agree with this, that we have to have a healthy outlook in our minds of who we are. And it's not so much who we are as building ourselves up. But you were talking about, Maria, you are a child of God. You're a special child of God. These things, I think, are very healthy thoughts, as long as they don't lead us to say, you know, to get into, you know, the sin of pride. But I think that's, what do you think, Debbie? I think it's okay to have those healthy thoughts about who you are.
Self-image?
Self-image, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Maria, I think there's a balance. There's a, you know, a healthy self-image is what God would want us to have, being temples of the Holy Spirit and being created in the image and likeness of God. God wants us to have life, to have it to the full. He knows every hair on our head, so we're created very uniquely by God. And so, yes, the healthy image, I think, is very important. It's when, in my humble opinion, it's when we cross over that line where we believe the power is coming from us. The power does not come from it. We can lose. I mean, look at us. You know, we could lose everything. Look at people who with natural disasters, they lose everything overnight. Okay. It was out of their control. Right. Okay. So that should show us that we if we have a developed relationship with God, we must rely on God, because that is where our strength comes from. And that is where we are able to endure things and persevere. And I think I think sometimes, Maria, the reason why we don't do that is because it's admitting that we are less than, and it's such a false idea that has been put upon us. You know, everybody's trying to climb up to the top of the pack, right? They're trying to climb up. I can speak better than you, or I can, you know, write this great, you know, dissertation on this. And everybody's trying to impress others. For what? Okay, our gifts come from God. They go through us and they go back to God. And when we realize that, there's a freedom in it. What do you think, Maria?
I think that is great, and a reason I thought of that too is I'm right now listening to a series of talks. I'm glad you have a program that's dental. I'm with this other one called Heartwork with the Daughters of St. Paul. I love Sister Catherine Hermes. She is doing a talk right now on the false self, and she happened to mention a Thomas. I don't know too much about Thomas Merton, but she said that he was, you know, got into being a monk, a priest. I'm not sure what his background is. But anyway, he realized, you know, he wanted to get away from all the things of the world and be this perfect, you know, person serving God, that eventually he found out that he had put all these things behind him, but really they were hidden. There were a lot of things inside of him, pride, one of them, and other things that he had not faced. And he happened to realize that after he became a religious. So I don't know, maybe somebody can look up Thomas Merton and his writings. I'm not too familiar with him, but I just happened to hear that. And I was just so fascinated by, wow, a religious coming to realize that, you know, he's not perfect.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's incredible. I just thought that was wow. So I need to look up on that more. But yeah, that is just incredible to me.
Well, and when you think about it, what are the holy men and women who withdraw from the world? What is the one thing they are seeking? They're seeking perfection, not in the sense of being prideful, but in a sense of being rooting out the sin in their lives and growing in the virtues and eliminating the vices. And that could take a lifetime. It could take a lifetime. And so many of them write about how along that journey, and even at the moment of their last breath, the devil is just right there trying to cause them to stumble, even after a lifetime of attaining holiness and great sanctity and virtue. So, Maria, thank you for your call. We are grateful for that. We appreciate you joining us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Let's see. What is our plug for today?
I'm familiar with some of Thomas Merton's writings. We actually studied a few in our theology classes, and you know, it's interesting. The only thing I would just say though is when you're looking for a special work that could help you move along your spiritual journey, just make sure it's solid. It's very authentically Catholic. I'm just saying because there's a lot of pride ego books out there that somehow they have like a Christian slant to it. And so you want to be really cautious and just careful about picking through what is proper. And I would stick with, mainstream, very, very. I'm not saying anything about any of the authors, but I know there's a lot of pride and ego books out there. So I would just say be careful, because some can kind of move into Eastern thought, and it's just interesting.
Right. Yeah, I was going to make that point too. The early writings of Thomas Merton were very, very solid, from what I understand. And my understanding of some of his later writings is he did mix in Eastern non-Christian spirituality. And mm-hmm. I believe that he died when he was visiting. I don't know, was it a Buddhist monastery or some Eastern form of religion? So, but mm-hmm. he's got some great stuff earlier in his life. So I agree with you, Debbie. We've got to really make sure that we're spiritually dining on the really solid meat and potatoes. Absolutely.
Well, absolutely, because I actually know a lot of Catholics, really strong Catholics, that have read various works on the ego and the mind, and you know, they talked about karma and all this kind of stuff, and they actually moved into forms of Buddhism very easily, and they were very devout Catholics. So you need to, you have to be really careful, because that's how easy we can slide, you know, off of center, which is, you know, I'm a strong believer in everything authentically Catholic.
Right. Well, speaking of authentically Catholic, you can get Church Pop in your inbox, your email inbox every day. Church Pop, P-O-P, features new online Christian content that's fun, informative, and inspirational. You can find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com, and it's a service of EWTN.
I love Church Pop. In fact, if you go on my Facebook page and try, I'm accepting more friends. So look up Debbie Giorgiani, friends, quote unquote, but I'm accepting more friends. And I always repost all the Church Pop stuff. I love it. Okay, Anne in Lafayette, Louisiana on Christ Our King Radio. You've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. I wanted to share a novena. I've really been wanting all this in for over a week now, and I never just had the opportunity to do it except for today. And it deals with all of the topics that you all have covered. It's called the Surrender Novena, and I've been doing it for weeks now, and it has helped me tremendously dealing with all of these things that we see going on in our country as Catholics and as Americans. It was given to us by a Father Rutolo, who actually seemed to have a connection with Padre Pio, and this priest, was a modern-day priest. He died November 19th of 1970, so, you know, during most of our lifetimes. But the most beautiful thing about this 9-day novena is it's almost like God talking directly to you, and at the end of it, each day is different. You're asked to say, "Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything." And, you know, you're to say it 10 times and then wait the next day and just pray on that. I encourage everybody to look into this novena because it has taken a tremendous load off of me. And as far as pride, one of the funny things about the novena is it talks about, you know, God saying, you're trying to tell me how to do my job. You know, let me take care of it. So it puts you in your place, and it really gives God the reins to do his will and for us just to sit back and trust in him. So that's what I needed to share with you today.
Well, Anne, we are so glad you did, and you maybe missed some of our first week of shows in January of this year, and that's okay. We forgive you for that. But, Anne, we pushed the Surrender Novena, the exact novena you're talking about. Yeah, we did. At the beginning of every year, Jerry and I pick some devotional that we really think will help us, the Take Two family, to move along. And we mentioned it in January, and we love it. We absolutely love the Surrender Novena. And then COVID hit, and we really haven't mentioned it too many times, but then you brought it up. So we must believe that is the Holy Spirit, Anne, working through you to remind us to get out our books and to pray that wonderful novena. We wholeheartedly agree with you. It is a game changer. It's a spiritual game changer.
I've ordered the cards, and I started giving them out. And I just have to keep reordering because I have so many people that feel like they need it. So that's kind of been one of my missions, to help my friends with it along. And one of the beauties I think I've seen out of this, not that it's my surrender, but in the state of Louisiana, we actually have an issue that's coming up as an amendment pushed forth by a Democratic leader, believe it or not, to love life. It's called the Love Life Amendment. And I really feel like this is God pushing us through where we need to be.
Beautiful. Yeah, as Debbie said, we do know. I know that Debbie prayed the novena, the Surrender Novena, and so did I. And it is presented to us and to the church by Father Dolindo Rutolo, who is Naples. He was in Naples, Italy, died in 1970, and he is a candidate for beatification in the church right now. So, and it is. It's the one thing that you repeat every day is Jesus, you take care of everything, and that is a great way to not to humble ourselves, because it just helps us realize that we are not in control, as you said, Anne. So, thank you so much, Anne, for bringing that to our attention today on the program.
Thank you. I love your show.
Oh, thanks. You're very kind.
Thanks, Anne. We love you too. Thank you. Okay, Jerry, do we have time? Can we rush to Gloria? And you need to mention Lulu. Lulu posted something really beautiful we need to share real quickly.
Yeah, well, that's going to take a couple of minutes here. So hold on, Gloria, and we will try to get to you in just a minute. But Lulu on YouTube, she says, I like Mother Teresa's ways to stay humble. Speak as little as possible about yourself. Keep busy with your own affairs and not those of others. Avoid curiosity. Do not interfere in the affairs of others. Accept small irritations with good humor. Do not dwell on the faults of others. Accept censures even if unmerited. Give in to the will of others. Accept insults and injuries. Accept contempt, being forgotten and disregarded. Be courteous and delicate even when provoked by someone. Do not seek to be admired and loved. Do not protect yourself behind your own dignity. Give in discussions even when you are right, and choose always the more difficult task.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you, Lulu. Thank you so much. Wow. We need to, can you copy and paste that? I want that. Don't
yeah,
erase that.
Yeah, I'll put it
that.
On the
yeah, that
Take Two Show.com website.
Okay, cool. So we have about a minute and a half. Oh, 2 minutes. Gloria in Michigan, EWTN app, first-time caller. I'm so sorry, Gloria. We're racing against the clock.
Go. That's okay. I'll try to keep it as brief as I can. We were talking about pride and how it's kind of an internal thing that we all have in our thinking and so on. And I think that for me, what I'm trying to do is to recognize God has given all of us talents, so we've all got things we're strong in. So trying to recognize what other people's talents are. You build a good team by building a team of people with different talents that come together, work together, and do great things. And I think that can start right in the family at home with your children, in housekeeping or anything that you want the children to be able to do, to be able to point out to them what their talents are, each of them having different talents, so they can each see that we all have the different talents, but when we come together and do something, we make it easy, we make it fun, we make it successful, and that we're only a part. So, yes, we've got talents, and we can praise God and thank Him for those, mm-hmm. but we need to all, that we will also be recognizing others, and that we're only good as a team together.
I love that, Gloria. Love it, absolutely. We can't do it all on our own. So well spoken, well said, Gloria in Michigan. Thank you. We all love those special gifts, and we really need to help our children, Debbie. That's a great point she makes in recognizing what their true gifts are, not being prideful about that, but also recognizing the gifts in other people.
So true. So true. Thank you, Gloria. Tomorrow's our unscripted show, so if you'd like to revisit this, please do so tomorrow on our next great unscripted. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.